want to start with a question. Whose responsibility is it anyway? Whose responsibility is it to watch over the churches? Whose responsibility is it to watch over the local church? Whose responsibility is it to make sure that things are done in the right way? In an ideal world, we might answer that, well, it's our older brothers and sisters, because they've got the most experience and they've been at it the longest. I'm thankful to have grown up and admired many people who we would consider to fit into this age group, and I've seen some pass. So there's times when those are not available. Well, we might say then it's the folks that are in their middle ages, because they've got more experience too, and they're able, they've got more time studying the Word, they're better equipped. And that's true. And there's times that those individuals are not available for different reasons. And then we're left with sometimes our young people. The whole series of these meetings, the next 4 nights, we're going to focus on our young people. We're going to try to learn some from the example of Timothy. We're going to learn some from his life and some of the things that he encountered. And certainly that's what we want to focus on tonight. I hope as a way of introduction for this meeting that we can take a few minutes and just review a little bit about what we know about Timothy. Some of this stuff is really easy. For instance, we know that Timothy was born to a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father. We can read about that in Acts chapter 16. We know that his mother's name was Eunice and his grandmother was named Lois. And they raised Timothy from a child to have great faith in God, and they taught him a lot. Paul, in a couple of places in the first book of Timothy, spoke of Timothy as his own son. And we can read in the book of Acts how it was Paul himself that circumcised Timothy. Paul praised Timothy for his knowledge and his faith in the Scriptures. And he talked about how that Timothy, from a child, had known the Holy Scriptures. And he really just bragged on Timothy and said, you know, you've been in a great environment and you're rich in what you know. If we look in Acts chapter 16, we can see that Timothy went with Paul on some of Paul's journeys. This is where we first learn about Timothy in the book of Acts. And it says of Timothy in verse 3 that him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. But the key thing is that Paul liked Timothy and he had heard about his good works and the many things that he knew, and he says, this is a young man that's got potential and I want him to go with me on my journey. He thought a lot of it. In time, and this didn't happen immediately, but in time, Timothy represented Paul in a few of the congregations. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 22, Paul sent Timothy, well, let's just read, Acts 19 and 22. So he sent it to Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So Paul sent them ahead as if to stand in his place and to be ministers for him. Brad made a few minutes ago made some comments about Timothy's age. It's never mentioned in the Scriptures how old he was. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, our key verse tonight, we see that he was young. And this verse says, let no man despise thy youth, saying that he was young. Brad's comments are a little bit different from mine. And as we know, when we get something that's not clear in the Scriptures, there's some speculation involved. Yes? Someone could have been considered young even into their early 30s, and I like to hear things like that. I know some of you like the sound of that too. But we also see examples of people beginning their public ministry when they were in their 30s. Jesus Christ began his public ministry when he was 30 years of age. And we know his older cousin, John the Baptist, began his ministry sometime perhaps in his mid-20s to late 20s, because he was well known on the scene when we start to read about Jesus. So he had to have begun earlier than Jesus. So in late 20s to early 30s, here are two examples of individuals that began public ministry, and they were respected at that age in that point in time. So if Paul was going to caution Timothy about his youth, perhaps he was at that age, and perhaps he was a good deal younger than that. Perhaps Timothy was in his mid-20s. Perhaps Timothy was in his early 20s even. So we get a couple of different ideas about how old this young man was. As we've already read, though, no matter how young he was, from a child he had been exposed to the Scriptures, and from a child he had done real well and worked really hard to learn about things and had developed a good reputation. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 22, this reputation went with him. And as he traveled about with Paul, Paul spoke of this, and he says, "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." Timothy worked closely with Paul throughout the time that he was with him, and he preached the word. If we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 19, just tells us plainly, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea," and it goes on to say some other things, but the importance is that Timothy, as he went about, he was a preacher as well as someone who was a great example and someone who stood in place for Paul at times. He was involved in the work of the early church. A young person involved in the work of the early church, given great responsibility to be Paul's legs when he was not able to go to some places, to be able to stand in for Paul. And we find in the book of 1 Timothy, as we turn our attention there, that it is in this type of a service that we find Timothy here. It's in this type of an order. He is working to help Paul. If we look in the first chapter, verses 2 through 4, Paul here is identifying himself, which is his custom, and then he says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith," there's that father-son relationship that he mentions a couple of times, "grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." And he goes on to say other things. So Timothy is here, and he says, "I want you to stay at Ephesus." Well, let's pay close attention to what this young man is being given a charge to do. "I want you to stay at Ephesus as this congregation, and I don't want you just to stay there. I don't want you just hang out there and not be involved. What I want you to do is I want you to stay there and you take up the role of being one that would stand firm for the faith. You be the person who is strong in the Word and teaches others what the truth is. You be the person, Timothy, that stands and charges others not to teach anything except the truth." Now that is a huge task for this young man. And we've got to have a lot of respect for him, because this is what Paul thought he was up to. It's not just that that Timothy would stay there and do easy tasks. That's not it at all. He gave him the work that normally we would see our older generation taking on. He gave him the work that some of our strong middle-aged brothers and some of our strong middle-aged sisters would be capable of doing. He says, I want you to defend the truth at Ephesus. Look over at verse 15 of chapter 3. Not only is he giving him instructions for what he wants to do at Ephesus, but he also tells him this in this letter. This, I guess we could say, is the full purpose of the entire letter of 1 Timothy. Paul says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So he says, you know, I've given you this huge responsibility. I've given you this task that normally someone your age might not have upon them. I'm not just going to put you in there and let you learn by trial of fire. I'm going to tell you a little bit how you need to behave yourself. I'm going to tell you how you need to conduct yourself so that you do a good job. And then Paul begins in the next few verses, and he goes through many principles. He goes through many doctrines, and he continues to enforce to Timothy what it is that he's trying to do. He continues to say, I want you to preach, and I want you to teach. And he says in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He says, you need to do this. You need to teach. You need to pour out God's word upon these people because they need it. He reinforces it again in verse 11. He says, these things command and teach. And he's outlined many principles that he needed to be declared to the people at Ephesus. And now we reach the point where Paul begins to give specific things to Timothy, specific things that Timothy can do and to make part of his life. And now we reach the part where we'll begin our discussion for the entire week. Let's just read quickly these few verses and get an idea of what's coming. Paul says to Timothy in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This little passage right here, it tells us so much about the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. It wasn't one where he just would pat him on the back now and then and tell him that he was doing a good job. It wasn't one that, you know, sometimes if we're going to give someone encouragement, they don't take it well because so many times we butt heads. Well, we can see that wasn't the case. Here we see Paul's laying it out. He's telling him something that's deep and profound. And he does that and he knows that Timothy's going to absorb it. From that we know that the relationship was a very positive one between them. And that perhaps for many years, Paul had given Timothy encouragement and that their relationship was supportive and uplifting. Verse 12, and that's what we want to focus on tonight, illustrates the need for being a good example. Verse 13, Brother Mark will bring out and illustrate how Paul gives him instructions for self-discipline. In verse 14, Timothy is urged to be responsible, to not be negligent, to not let time or opportunity pass by. In verse 15, gives him the command to be consumed by God's Spirit. And in verse 16, he's reminded to embrace doctrine, to embrace the truth, because that's what it will be that will save him and save others. But just on the surface, if all we do is look on the surface, we can see how profound this statement is. It's very deep. He doesn't just say, Timothy, I want you to do a good job. He gives him some very specific details. He gets very specific in the instructions and in how he's to conduct his life. Because just like you and I, Timothy probably had different roles, different hats that he would wear. And he might have lived really good in the church, and then he could have almost been a completely different person in a different environment. And Paul gets down to the details of Timothy's life and embraces all of it and encourages every aspect of his life in this passage. Well, let's take the rest of our time tonight and zoom in just on what is there in verse 12. Because there in verse 12 we get a rich tapestry that Paul paints that gives us just how important our example is. Now let's not forget the person that he's talking to. He's not talking to just anybody. He's talking to a young man who is in the role of the church to be a teaching brother, a brother that's going to stand for the truth. No, Timothy did not meet the qualifications of an elder at this point in his life. He probably did not have the experience. We don't know that at this point he had children. We don't know what happened in his latter life, but it's not brought out here. But he was in that kind of a role, that kind of a position in the church. This is the person he's talking to. He says, let no man despise thy youth. That word despise is a strong word. Many people who are young, we like to say that they'll sow their oats. They'll do things in life that when they look back in life, they regret. Paul didn't allow that to Timothy at all. He says, this can't happen. This can't happen at all. Timothy, if you're going to be in the position of someone as if you were an elder, as if you were a teacher of the truth, of the doctrine, then you've got to act like one. If you're going to be in the position to stand firm for the doctrine, for the truth, then nobody can despise your youth. Mr. Clark said this. He said that, rephrasing these words, in other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, act with all the gravity and decorum which become thy situation in the church. You act, Timothy, soberly. You act as if you are a responsible individual. Mr. Henry said this, men's youth will not be despised if they do not, by youthful vanities and follies, make themselves despicable. And this men may do who are old, who may therefore think themselves if they be despised. I thought that was fairly profound. That if we are going to, as young people, live in a way that would make us despicable, then, you know, that's exactly what he's telling Timothy not to do. That word despise, let's don't live in a way that would make us despicable. Let's don't live in a way that would be bad. And certainly that could apply to people at all ages, not just someone that was young. Certainly, if Timothy lived in a way that he was despised, his work as a church member would be despised, the ministry would be despised, and in the eyes of some, the church would be despised. So let's see this for all that it is. He's saying, Timothy, you're a young person. You be a good example because you represent Jesus Christ. Paul said, be an example of the believers. Listen to these words. The more you walk, the less you have to talk. Our leadership is cost more than it is taught. People would rather see a sermon than hear one. These phrases, these sayings, they ring true to us. That makes sense. So I don't really want to elaborate a whole lot on this passage, on these words, be an example of the believers, because that's what this whole verse is about. But certainly, if Timothy allowed himself indulgences in sins or in things that were not becoming of a minister of the gospel, certainly that his followers would want to do the same thing. And now we get six words in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And these six words blend one into another, almost like a color wheel, so that you blend red into yellow, a little blend into green, and into blue, and purple, and then back into red. They come full circle, almost. First of all, Paul starts and he says, I want you to be an example in word. Now the next one is conversation, and these kind of work together. I don't believe that Paul repeated himself here. I don't believe that he's saying the same thing over and over, so each word has got to have a little bit of its own significance, even though it's going to blend into the next. Word and conversation kind of fit together in our mind. They kind of mean the same thing. How much do we know about the importance of the truth? We know a lot about the importance of the truth. If Paul was going to say, I want you to be an example of the believers in word, I think maybe he's saying, I want you to be an example of the believers in what you teach. I want you to teach only the word of God, because this and nothing else will save your soul. Nothing else will save the souls of others. Timothy, be focused. Brother Mark will talk more about that tomorrow night. Be focused on teaching the truth. Be focused on knowing it and living it. And teach that. He's already commanded him to be strong in the doctrine. Friends, how many times is it that we shy away from doctrines because they get to be controversial? And this is the very thing that Timothy was charged to do. I want you to be an example in word. And that blends right into conversation. Now, we think of conversations as people talking. Certainly that's true. But that's also the way someone lives. If we look over to the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 13, this verse says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Well, we don't show anything really out of our conversation if that means a discussion. I mean, we can show some things, but we can't really show works with meekness of wisdom. Conversation in this sense means our life. It means everything that we do, our whole life. Not just the life that you know of me in this role, but my life as a physical therapist, my life as a husband, my life as a family member. He's telling Timothy, in all walks of your life, in your conversation with different people, the walk that you walk in front of them, not only your actions publicly, but also domestically, behave appropriately, behave properly, and be an example of the believers in everything. Don't have friends that are private friends that you would cut up with and act out in certain ways that doesn't fit with the image of the believers. Don't find yourself falling into their types of discussions and things that are not appropriate when you're not around church people. Be the same all the time. And that blends into our next word. And that word's charity. How much do we know about charity? Well, we could take time to read 1 Corinthians 13. We know the importance of love. I think that what he's saying here is, because of what he said so far and how it's building on each other, I think he's saying, Timothy, I need you to love and let love be the motivation behind your actions. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, this verse says that speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. So much of what we do, and this comes into play in the next one we're going to talk about, but so much of what we do is transparent to people that know us, particularly people that know us well. Paul is saying, Timothy, I want love to be in your heart. And I want you to be an example in all things with love in your heart so that when you do something, no matter what it is, that people see clearly that love is your motivation for it. He's saying, I want you to live in front of these people there at Ephesus so that when you stand boldly for doctrine, that you have shown and you have lived love before them so much that they don't lose respect for you because of how firm you're going to have to stand on doctrine. I want you to live so that it's transparent that you're doing things clearly because you love your brothers and sisters and you love those that are lost. And you want to reach out to them because they are lost. And this is spirit. He says, word, conversation, charity, love, and spirit. We could read a lot about the Holy Spirit. We could read a lot about how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we could read a lot of verses that give us a lot of details about this. I think because of the way these things are building on each other, this is very close to the word charity here. What spirit are we going to conduct ourselves? In what way are we going to act? Are we going to do holy things with an unholy attitude? Have you ever witnessed or have you ever felt it in your own heart to come to church when you really didn't want to and you felt maybe others could tell it? Have you ever, you brothers, have you ever been asked to lead a song or to work a prayer and you really didn't want to and you felt like your heart just wasn't in it? Have we ever done things that we felt like we were kind of being pushed into them and we didn't really have the right attitude? Is it right to do the right thing with the wrong attitude? I don't know that it is. And what Paul is saying, Timothy, you have that right attitude. Timothy, you're a young person and you're in a great role of responsibility and it's an important place. I need you to be strong in so many things. I need you to have not only a good background, which you have, and I need you to be a good example in many things. I need you to be of the right spirit, of the right attitude at all times. And then we get to the word faith. And wow, we could spend all night talking about faith. Faith and how deep it is, and we know what kind of faith Timothy must have had. We know that he was taught of that from an early age. Sometimes we hear in our society, the presidential debates, they'll talk about how they're men of faith. And faith almost, it's almost a different meaning from what we're used to hearing. Faith is used to talk about their religion without saying, I'm a Christian. Because faith is supposed to reach out across the division in the religious world, across the lines of Christianity to the Muslim world and to the other worlds that are out there, because they claim to be faithful as well. But faith, what are we talking about here? In many cases, this word takes on the meaning of fidelity when it's used like this. Now, fidelity means honestly keeping and preserving. That means stepping up to the plate when we're called on to do something. That means being responsible for our position. It also means improving what has been given. Mr. Clark said this. He says, speaking about this particular word, he says, lose nothing that God gives and improve every gift that He bestows. Timothy, I want you to look at your role. I want you to look at your role, Timothy, because you've got so much responsibility and there's so much potential out there. And I want you to be a good steward of your time. I want you to be a good steward of this role. And don't just try to keep it up. But I want you to be the five-talent man that turned his five talents into 10 talents. I want you to grow it. I want you to be diligent to turn yourself into a deeper Christian, into a better speaker, a better person to communicate God's Word. All of these things kind of go around the circle, and then here we get back to purity. Our last word that Paul says to Timothy here in this verse is in faith and in purity. We know he's a young man. How young? I don't know. But he was young enough that Paul recognized that perhaps Timothy would face the temptations of the flesh perhaps more than other speakers because they would be older. He recognized that it would be difficult at times for Timothy to live as a young man, and he wanted to give him encouragement to be pure. Now this is a direct plea for chastity, a direct plea for remaining pure. And I guess he's saying, Timothy, I don't want you to do anything that would give rise to scandal by your actions with women. Timothy, don't do a thing that would look bad or that would be bad in the eyes of others. Because if you do, this is going to be both your corruption and it's going to be the corruption of those that would see you and follow you and follow in your actions. Here we have the full spectrum. We begin in word about the strength and the need for truth. We move into conversation, how you live every single day, at every hour of the day. We move into spirit, where we look and see, what is your attitude about life? What is your attitude about your Christian living? We move into faith, and about being strong and having responsibility. And being a person of fidelity where you would try to maintain what's been given to you and improve upon it. We move back up into purity, which is in and of itself all that I need to say about that word, pure, which brings us right back to the Word of God, and we know that it is pure. Paul says, be an example and hear your whole life is what I want you to embrace. You, as a young person, realize the importance of every aspect of your life and be strong in every aspect, Timothy, because there's people that are leaning on you. There's people that are depending on you. If we could summarize this and put it in my words, it would be this. Timothy, you're young, but you're in a position of great importance. Don't take it lightly. Realize the importance of your example. Teach God's Word always. Be consistent to live out the truth always. Truly live with love in your heart for all men, and let this be the motivation for all of your actions. Take responsibility for your position and act accordingly, and never fall into the temptations that will face you. So let's return to the question that we began with. Whose responsibility is it anyway? When we look around us at the different churches that surround us, we see some of the older brothers that are strong, and I'm thankful they're there. And we'll see some of the middle-aged men who are strong and the middle-aged women who are strong, and I'm thankful they're there. And we'll see a host of young people in different places, at different ages. Many who are growing and being strong in the church. Friends, whose responsibility is it out of all of those people to take on this challenge that Paul gave to Timothy? Is it only for the young people? No. I don't believe that it is. Because I believe that if we can see how deep this verse goes, that we would all want to embrace it in just that way. Because it would change all of our lives if we'd embrace it more. But particularly for our young people, here's a person who's just like you and just like me in many ways. And he's probably, being a person that we know was smart, he's probably got a lot of talent beyond just being in ministry. We know he had a good relationship with his mother and his grandmother, and he probably had a need inside of him to want to take care of them. We know of his relationship with Paul, and Paul wasn't with him all the time, and so probably at times he felt like he needed to be close to Paul and he didn't get to. You see, a lot of these things that Timothy experienced we can identify with. And yet Paul laid it on him as if he was able to bear. He didn't say, Timothy, I've got this for you to do, and I don't know if you can do it or not, but here it is anyway. He put it out there that Timothy could take hold to it, and that he could accomplish it, and he could achieve it, and he could succeed with it, and that Timothy would be a strong leader in the church all of his life, and we can only imagine that he was. And young people who are here listening tonight, I want to urge you to take up this mantle upon yourself, just as Paul put it here on Timothy, and commit yourself in this way. Realize that we've got to know the truth. It's great to know the things that we know about church from coming. But it's an entirely different thing when it comes time to teach and to preach and to take a stand on those things. It takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of trust in God's Word. Young people, we've got a life to live, and it doesn't just happen today and tomorrow. It will happen years from now. And the choices that we make right now will determine who we're going to become in the next 10 years. And we may look back on some of these choices that we make today. We may look back on choices that we've made, and we may regret some of those things. I want to encourage you to make positive choices. Positive choices to embrace God in all the ways we've talked about tonight. To embrace God by learning about His Word. To live it in every aspect, in front of all of your friends, in front of your co-workers. Live and breathe the truth like we know we should do. Be Christians in front of everyone. I want you to embrace love like you never have. You know, love is something that's a challenge, and Timothy was given that as a challenge. Because it's easy to love the people that love us. It's a bigger challenge to have love for someone that we need to forgive. It's a bigger challenge to love someone that continually hurts us. It's a bigger challenge still to love someone that we see is clearly in wickedness and in the snares of sin, and to love them enough to want to reach out and help them. And how much can we say about our attitude? How much can we say about the way that we live when it comes to faith? But mostly, this last one that Timothy was told, purity, how important is that word? How important is that word for our young people? I want you to hang on to that word, ingrain it in your heart, and live to be pure in the way that Paul told Timothy to be. Don't do anything that would give rise to scandal by your actions with women or with men. Live in a way that's pure. Friends, tonight we have an opportunity to reflect on these words as well as what we know about God's Word. We have an opportunity to think about our lives and how we have lived, whether or not we are living close to God or whether we are somewhere else, living in sin, tied up in the cares of the world. And I want to encourage you to try to think if we need to be closer to God. Perhaps we've never been obedient to God through baptism. We had that opportunity tonight. Sin would separate us from God. The baptism would clear us from sin. We would be raised from the watery grave of baptism in newness of life. We would be a Christian. And we could begin to grow. We'd begin to put on the things we've talked about. And if sin has separated us from God after that, if, friends, we've lived and we have not lived the way Timothy was encouraged to, and we feel pricked in our heart to turn, and you would like to ask for the prayers of brothers and sisters here, and we have that opportunity as well. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?